I want to. I'm nervous. Do you know what? When you're 3 years in a place or more, you start to think, have I told this story before? But hopefully I haven't. But I heard a story about a year ago, and it was it's claimed to be a true story about basically a place in Texas where they're gonna basically open a bar. Have I told you this story before? Where they're gonna open a bar, and so the church is really worried about this bar being open, so they start to pray against it. But it gets a license, okay? And the church think, we've got to pray even harder about this bar in our area. So they pray and they pray and they pray. And one night, after all this fasting and prayer, there is a lightning strike and it burns the bar down, okay? Now, the church start to celebrate this and they're jumping up and down and delighted about the power of prayer. But then the bar owner sues them, okay? And he sues them on the grounds that the church was ultimately responsible for the demise of his business through direct actions or indirect means. Of course, the church then denied all responsibility or any connection to the building's demise. And the judge who was in charge, he said, I don't know how I'm going to decide this. It appears from the paperwork we have here, a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and an entire church that don't. There you go. That one went down well. I'll tell you a few more. Right, you know, you're starting to be offended this morning, okay? This not allowed to be offended. You wouldn't be offended if you heard these outside church, so we'll just power on. A storm is raging. The captain realizes his ship is sinking fast. He calls out over the ship, is there anyone here who knows how to pray? A priest in the back thinks this is my epic moment. So he steps forward and says, I, sir, know how to pray. The captain says, good, you pray. The rest of us put on our life jackets. We're one short. Okay. This is the dangerous one. This is the dangerous one, okay? A man and a friend are playing golf one day at their local golf course. One of the guys is about to chip onto the green when he sees a long funeral procession on the road next to the course. He stops his swing, takes off his golf cap, closes his eyes, and bows down in prayer. His friend says, wow, that's the most thoughtful and touching thing I have ever seen. You truly are a kind man. The man replies, we have been married 35 years. That's a shocker. That's an absolute shocker. It can only get better. Okay, folks. We have had so far two sermons in a series. For anyone who's new here, in a series called Angels Among Us. And we've been looking at these creatures, mysterious creatures called angels. Okay, and so far we have basically said that angels, you know, they do stuff for God, they worship Him. We've said that they did stuff for Jesus, they strengthened Him, they provided for Him, they do stuff for Christians. In fact, Hebrews 1 says that angels are ministering spirits sent to care for those who will inherit salvation. So they're there to serve Christians as well. So we've been thinking about all the stuff that angels do for God and Jesus and us. And I suppose what I was thinking of is, what do we do? What part do we have to play in all this stuff about angels and demons and angelic realms and all this kind of stuff? Because surely we don't have access to it. You know, I think the first week that I was speaking, a little illustration of what Einstein once said. And he said that there could be another universe or another dimension where there is actually train tracks up the middle of this church and there's a train roaring through right now. Well, I don't know if that's true, but what I do know is in 2 Kings 6, there is that moment where Elisha, asks for his servant's eyes to be opened. He prays that the servant's eyes will be opened. And the servant, who's terrified of an army that's coming against them, suddenly his eyes are opened so he can see into another realm of things called the heavenlies. And he sees that there are all of these angels, far more than oppose the people of Israel. So there are other dimensions at play. And of course, we read in Ephesians chapter 6 that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, okay? Dark forces, okay? We fight against the demonic, not against people. That changes our whole attitude to conflict when we think about that. that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against the kind of spiritual force that's out there that we may not be able to see, but we believe, if we believe the Bible, that is there. Now, folks, if we say that there is another dimension, we don't have to worry about a train hitting us in another dimension, okay? And we can't actually see. That's why there needed to be that incredible prayer by Elisha over the servant. We can't actually see it. What is the point in having a sermon series about something that you can't impact? Something that just goes on around us. I mean, we've read stories about angels and miraculous things they have done. We even heard an amazing story from Bishop-elect David McClay on Thursday night about how somebody was actually saved with hands in front of their face in a car crash, stopping glass from hitting their face. Like, all this stuff seems to go on, and what can we really do about it? I mean, if it's just going to kind of, angels are sometimes going to intervene in our lives, but we can't see them, what is the point in us thinking about it? That's the question I guess I want to ask this morning. Well, here's my first point, guys. Although we can't see them, angels can see us, okay? Although we can't see them generally, although I know some of you have seen angels, although we can't see them, they see us. Now, what do I mean by that? If we move on to the next slide, first of all, let me share with you a passage from 1 Corinthians 4:9. It says, this is Paul speaking, "For I think that God has exhibited us apostles." Okay, apostles are the people that saw Christ, served Christ. "I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels and to men." What a fascinating passage. So I'm inviting you to Marilyn for an angel exhibition where we will look at angels. But in this passage it says that the apostles were exhibited to angels. Okay, so angels should come and look at us, not us to them. Okay, that's what it says, that angels are looking at the apostles. Now you could say, "But Simon, that's just the apostles. We're not apostles, we're just Christians." But here we see later, Paul writing to Timothy, and he's commissioned him as a preacher, and he says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without partiality, doing nothing." Sorry, without prejudice, doing nothing for partiality. Okay, so he's charging them in the presence of angels. So preachers need to be careful, they're being watched by angels. In Corinthians it says, marriages are watched by angels. And you know, later on it says that in Matthew 16 verse 27, that when the Son of Man comes to reward us, he does it in the presence of his angels. They watch us. They watch us. And what we do has some kind of impact on the battle that they fight with the demonic in this realm that we cannot see. This all sounds incredible, I know, but it is just basic biblical truth. There's a great story in Exodus 17, and it's an amazing story. Basically, there is lots and lots and lots of fighting going on in the valley. Okay, the army of Israel are fighting a mighty, mighty, mighty army down in the valley, and there's all sorts of battling going on in this war. And what we see is that Moses is standing up on the mountain looking down. And it's incredible because what's happening is if Moses keeps his arms aloft, the Israelites are winning. When he lets them fall down, the Israelites start to lose. And so Aaron, his high priest, and a guy called Hur, okay, they stand at the side because poor old Moses, you know, he doesn't have Harry Lockhart's upper body strength and it's dropping down a bit. So these guys get alongside and hold up his arms. And it's almost like as Moses worships, there's a victory being won down in the valley. And folks, I believe that that's because as he worshipped, the angels were part of that battle. And when he stopped worshiping, they ceased to be victorious in that battle. I really do believe that because we can have an impact in this battle between the angelic and the demonic. I love a missionary called C.T. Studd. And C.T. Studd, he is way back from yesteryear, but he said this. He says, "I pray that when I die, all of heaven throws a party that I'm no longer in the fight. Isn't that great? I pray that when I die, all of hell throws a party for I'm no longer in the fight. Incredible words. If we move on to the next slide, from Screwtape Letters. Who's read the Screwtape Letters? Okay. Brilliant book. You can read it in about 2 hours, and it is unbelievable. It's C.S. Lewis about an older demon teaching a younger demon. So you'll hear the word the enemy in that book, and the enemy refers to God because it's been written by the demons. And listen to what it says about the church here. One of our great allies, this is the demon talking at present, is the church itself. He's talking about the church, the sort of institution of the church where people are lukewarm and they're not fully surrendered to Jesus. He says, one of the great allies at present is the church itself. Do not misunderstand me. I don't mean the real church. The church as we see her spread out through all time and space and rooted in eternity. Terrible as an army with banners. That, I confess, is a spectacle which makes our boldest tempters uneasy. But fortunately, it is quite invisible to these humans. What's it saying? It's saying this. The demon is saying, I'm not scared of the church, you know, that goes along, meets for a happy hour. I'm scared, really scared, of the spectacle of that army with banners. Those people that really want to live for Jesus and fight for Jesus. That praying, powerful church, terrible as an army with banners, is a spectacle which makes us weak at the knees. That's what the demon says. We can have an impact, folks, on this heavenly, on these heavenly realms, these heavenlies where the demons and the angels exist. I'm sure you know this story. I think it might be from Acts 19 or so, about these guys called the Sons of Sceva. Do you know this story? Have a look at it over dinner. But what you'll see is, you'll see these guys that go and try and deal with some demons. Now, they've heard about Jesus dealing with demons and Paul dealing with demons and all this sort of stuff. So they go and they try and deal with these demons and they become overpowered by the demons. And wait to hear what the demons say to these Sons of Sceva. They say this, Jesus I know, Paul I recognize, but who are you? So what they were basically saying is, they are aware of people like Jesus and people like Paul. Because people who want to fight as this terrible army are being watched by this angelic realm. You know, when the 70 come back to Jesus, do you remember he sends them out preaching, healing, and delivering these 70 disciples? When they come back, they're all excited because they have seen people healed and delivered and seen all these amazing things happen. And they're celebrating. And Jesus says this. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Like I saw that what you guys did had an impact in the heavenly realms. I saw it happen. He says, but don't rejoice because of that. Rejoice because your names are written in the book in heaven. Rejoice because of your salvation. Folks, my point is this. We may not be able to see angels and demons fighting. We can. It's possible that we can see it at times in our lives. We won't see it all the time, most of us. But the way we live massively impacts that realm. And if you believe the Bible, you should believe that that realm is as real as the one that we live in. It's massively real, and we could have a massive impact. Now, I'm going to turn to that very long but very important reading that Claire read to us from Daniel 10. And if we move on to the next slide, we're going to work through some very detailed emojis. Okay, now, put up your hands if you would like to see an angel. Put up your hands if you'd like to see an angel. High up. Okay, now I want to hear a yes. Do you want to see an angel?
Yes.
Do you want to build a snowman? No. Do you want to see an angel? Okay, what's the answer?
Yes.
Okay, yes, you do. Oh, great. You do want to see an angel. Well, Daniel, he has a vision or a dream or something happens to him that he starts to fast and pray for 3 weeks. Okay, now this is close to my heart because there's a thing we used to do every year called the Daniel fast, which was fine. All you're allowed is fruit, vegetables, and water. It was fine apart from there's no coffee allowed. Nearly killed me. But that's the Daniel fast. So Daniel does his fast. And after 21 days, he sees an angel. Great news. Well, for those of you that want to see an angel so bad, let me tell you that Daniel alone, verse 7, saw this vision of an angel. The men who were with him did not see the vision, but they trembled greatly and they fled to hide themselves. And then Daniel saw this angel. No strength was left in him. He was fearfully changed. And his strength left him. And he fell down terrified on his face. And then he went into a deep sleep with his face in the dirt. Okay. Then a hand touched him. He began to tremble on his hands and knees. Then eventually he stood up trembling. And then he ended up with his face towards the ground and was mute. Are you sure you want to see an angel? Are you absolutely sure? You want to see an angel. You know, it's great, the angel festival, because you go in and you see this unbelievable feathered angel. It's beautiful. It's just exactly what you expect. But then you see some angels that you don't expect. Let me tell you, if you saw a real angel, it wouldn't be what you're expecting. You'd be terrified. That's why angels, as David said on Thursday night, that's why angels nearly always say, fear not, because they're scary. They're really scary. And Daniel, after 21 days, sees an angel and ends up basically terrified out of his wits. But next thing, we've got a wee thumbs up emoji. We see that Daniel, in order to have this experience of seeing an angel, he fasts, right? Now, there's different types of fast, and I don't know, we're not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever fasted, because that would defeat the purpose, but there's different types of fasting. There's a fasting where you don't eat any food. There's a fasting where you go off, you know, rollerblading and cigarettes or whatever, okay? There's fasting over lots and lots and lots of different things. But the fasting that Daniel did was he fasted from delicacies, okay? Now, you are wealthy Darlingstown people. I know you'll go home and have a wee bit of caviar and a Coke or something when you come home from the service. But he didn't have any steak or whatever. He went off delicacies. And the word here, it's fascinating because it says he went off precious foods, or he went off esteemed foods, or favorite foods. He went off these favored foods, okay? In order to seek God, he went, I'm not going to have any of that nice stuff. Okay? And then the fascinating thing, folks, and we really have to pay attention to these things, is when the angel comes, twice it calls him in the same word. It says in our translations, man greatly loved. But it's exactly the same word as the food. Okay? So if you imagine Daniel fasted from fancy food, the angel came and said, greetings, Daniel, fancy one. Okay? Or favored food. Greetings, Daniel, favored one. It's the same, exact same word. And folks, I want us to be aware of this, and I want to be really careful about how I describe this, because I want to make it clear to you that God loves each and every one of us the same. He really does. He loves each and every one of us the same. But God is attracted to wholehearted worship. And he responds in wholehearted ways. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, he loves everybody the same. But there's a certain favor of those who love God with just all their hearts. I can explain this to you from 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. Do you remember the passage we use all the time? The eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the earth, seeking ones whose hearts are fully his, that he might strengthen them. Now, what I'm trying to say to you is this, folks. Jesus, Luke 2:52, he grew in favor with God and man. Did he grow in love with God? No. God loved him from the beginning. But he grew in favor. We, when we deny ourselves other things to seek after God, gain favor with God. When you open your Bible to read it every day, do a lot of monkeys suddenly appear in your mind and tell you you need to do ironing? That never happened to me. Or watch Jeremy Kyle. It's not on anymore, praise God. Or whatever, okay? Do all these things start to come to your mind? And you have to say, I favor this more than that. And when you do that, you're having a big impact in the heavenlies. You know, we think reading those verses or spending those minutes in prayer or those hours in prayer or whatever we do, we think it's just, we're just doing it. It's our Christian homework. No, you're not. It has impact in the spiritual realms. And when Daniel says, I am not going to favor those things because I want to favor the presence of God, an angel comes and says, greetings, Daniel, favored one. Does that make sense? We're not hearing that God loves some people more than others. What I'm saying is that we gain favor when we seek after him with all our heart. You know, I read a quote a few weeks ago, a prayerless church is a fruitless church. Why? Does God not love all churches the same? Of course he does. But churches that pray have the favor of God. That's a thumbs up. Now there's an arrow pointing up. Why is there an arrow pointing up? Well, there are lots of books about angels. You shouldn't read about 98% of them because they're nonsense, okay? But there's a book I saw, and in the book, the author had had an interview with an angel. And he told you, you can pray to your angel. And I even read a really, really, what I thought was a good sound man last night. He said he often prays to the angel of his children's guardian angel. You know, the guardian angel of his children, he prays to them to protect them. Folks, let me tell you, here in this passage, Daniel didn't for one second ask for an angel. He asked for God. You know, it says that in the passage, it says that he humbled himself before his God. He humbled himself before his God. We don't pray to angels, we pray to God. We don't seek after, we don't pray Gabriel. And some prayers in little books and all do. You know, you say, guardian angel, dear, oh dear, come and meet us here, oh here, whatever. I made that up. Don't write that down. Okay. But you do seriously pray to angels. No, you don't. You pray to God. He sends his angels. You know, it's like if you want to ask for £100,000 off Tesco, right? You don't go to the person who's at the sweet counter. You have to go and speak to the manager, okay? And even the manager will say, oh no, here, I couldn't make that decision. We'll have to phone head office. And then head office will say, oh no, we'll have to phone our European, whatever, I don't know, okay? But the point is this. You don't ask angels for things that God decrees. They're people that serve God. And so Daniel prays to God. And then we read the angel saying, I have been sent to you. The angel saying, I have come because of your words. Like, listen to that. I have come because of your words. Would the angel have come if Daniel hadn't prayed? I have come because of your words. So isn't that incredible? Our prayerlessness can stop the angel from coming. Our prayerlessness. Now, folks, our last emoji, well, really our second last, but our last emoji on the screen, timing is really important in prayer. This tells us something about the dynamics of prayer. How long did it take for Daniel's prayer to be answered? 21 days. Put up your hand if you agree with Gordon, 21 days. Okay. Any other ideas? How long did it take his prayer to be answered? One day. Right? Now, the angel doesn't get there till the 21st day. So he is right, okay? The angel doesn't get there to the 21st day. But the angel actually says, from the first day you prayed, from the first day you prayed, I started to come. Let me read exactly what it says. It says this. Where are we? Oh, yes. Verse 12. Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. This is really interesting, isn't it? Put up your hand if you've ever prayed and God didn't answer. Okay, really high. Don't be shy. Okay, some people here have 100% pray for me, would you? Please, I need a new car. I've got an 08 Golf. Okay, put up your hand if you've prayed and it hasn't been heard. Put up your hand. Hi. Anybody? Listen, balcony, I'm going up for prayer ministry. You are all 100% right, success rate. Okay, we have all experienced this. But here's an interesting thing. Daniel prayed the first day, but there was no obvious answer. Then he prayed the second day, there was no obvious answer. I'm not going to keep going here, but then he prayed a whole lot more days, there was no obvious answer. And then on the 21st day, an angel came. You know, a writer called Frank Lobach says this. He says, prayer is a bit like throwing stones into a swamp. And this is what I really like this. He says this. He says, each rock sinks without a trace. The exercise seems pointless, but if you go on for long enough, keep throwing those rocks, the swamp will eventually be filled, and one day a rock will be thrown that will not sink. Solid ground appears that day. Folks, what has happened here, and this is too incredible for words, I suppose, in a sense, is this angel, the first moment that Daniel started to pray, the angel was sent by God. But into this realm that we're talking about, he met another angel, but it was a demon. One of Satan's people that follow Satan's decrees, this demon. It says this, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. So think about that. In the realm we can't see, the angel and this other demon were wrestling. It's incredible. See that word you used, principalities. Do you remember that? We fight not against flesh and blood, principality. You know what principality means? It means a demon or an angel over a particular area. That's what a principality is. It's an angel with authority over a particular area. So this angel was sent and he wrestled with this demon for 21 days. And Daniel just kept on praying and praying and praying for 21 days. No idea this was going on. And then there was this breakthrough. Folks, do not give up praying. Do not give up praying. Now, folks, I want to be careful here again. Because here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that it's God and the devil. And you're praying, you know, oh, dear God, please do this. And suddenly God overpowers the devil. Listen, God, if he looked at the devil sideways, could melt him. Okay? There is no battle between God and the devil. But here's what I believe completely. There is a battle between the angelic and the demonic. There is. And as we pray, we can vote in that battle. We can impact that battle. And beautiful things can happen if we do so. Our prayers are used in mighty, mighty ways. Now, folks, put up your hand if you find this a little bit hard to believe. Anybody? These are all full of faith. Yeah, there's a few people find it hard to believe. Basil and I did this. Okay, there's a few people find it hard to believe. The balcony don't. They pray. Every time they pray, there's healing. Okay, it's great. Find it a wee bit hard to believe. Well, let me just show you. Revelation 5. Okay? Revelation 5 on the next page. Right? Now these, I'm going to show you two moments in the story of Revelation where it is God's ultimate battle. This is the last book of the Bible, folks. God's ultimate battle to completely vanquish evil from the universe forever. Okay? And make a new heaven and new earth where there'll be no more death or tears, no more of any of that. Well, let's look at Revelation 5, which is a really important key passage in the story of Revelation. It says, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, folks, look at that. In heaven, an unbelievable currency, more valuable than the dollar and the euro and the whole lot, an unbelievable currency are the prayers of the saints. Who are the saints? Christians. Not St. Peter and St. Paul. Christians. And the currency of the prayers of the saints are so very important in the heavenlies. Move on to the next slide. This is the absolute key part of God winning this universe for himself. It says this, another angel who had a golden censer, so there's angels, heavenlies, who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and earthquake. Folks, what am I saying here? There's a lot of poetic language happening here, a lot of imagery happening here, a lot of metaphor as well happening here. But here's the key thing. Key to what God is going to do to renew everything are your prayers. Key to it all are your prayers. And key to the battles that are going on right now over Dallingstown in the spiritual realm are your prayers and your worship. And in a sense, I want you to keep that image in mind that when your hands are raised aloft in worship and when your hands are folded in prayer, that the battle is turning just like Moses saw down in the valley. Now, folks, this is just basic biblical stuff. I'm not giving anything that's new or anything like that, but I really want you to see this. There is a realm that you cannot see which is being impacted by what we do and don't do. Let that feed your appetite for prayer. And here's the saddest thing. The saddest thing is that we as the church do not see this realm. And so we do not see the value of prayer, and we don't see the value of worship in a lot of cases. But see, folks, if we did, we would be terrible as an army with banners. And the demons would be terrified by this church.